parents of students of any ages, I want to talk to you about Move Up Sunday. Move Up Sunday is the day that we as a church officially recognize that your students have entered a new grade. So if they were in fifth grade, on this day, we consider them a sixth grader as far as the church is concerned. Move Up Sunday is happening on June 6th, and here's why you need to know this. We're starting service in the main sanctuary. Everyone needs to be in the main sanctuary except for your nursery children. They can go to the nursery. We're going to be in here, and right at the beginning of service, we're going to celebrate everyone moving into new classes. So again, for example, students moving out of fourth grade into fifth grade, we're going to celebrate them going from the children's ministry into the youth ministry. So everyone's going to start in here. We're going to celebrate the move up classes, pray over them, and then we'll dismiss Children's Church out for their classes, and the youth ministry will stay in here for worship like we've been doing. If you have any questions about Move Up Sunday, contact myself or Pastor Randy. We would love to help you understand the whole process so nobody's confused when we get there. We look forward to celebrating with you and your students on June 6th.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs. That's right, family of faith. It's time for the annual farmers market in Sidney, Ohio, starting May the 29th at 8 a.m. and going to noon every Saturday up through October. We've ministered last year over 4,000 hot dogs. We gave away hot dogs, water, and chips down in Sidney, Ohio. And because of that act of kindness, we've been allowed to pray with people, pray for their families, turn around and share the gospel, and lead some people back to Christ. So I encourage you to become part of this event. This is for young as old alike, families, couples, and individuals. Remember, we are the family of faith. We value relationships in the church, but also in our communities. And yes, we are rescuers. Remember, Jesus said, as you've done it unto one of these, you've done it unto him. If you're interested in helping, there's a sign-up sheet up at the Welcome Center that you can put your name to. You probably need to do this once or twice out of the entire year because so many people sign up for it. Or you can see me personally at the church. Greatly appreciate it. Hope to see you there.
Hey, Only Believe. Have you seen this walking around your church? 1982, what's it mean? Why has everybody got a shirt on? I'll tell you why. It's the year we became a church. It's really important. It's very nostalgic. And you're saying, why are you saying this, Nicole? Because this is what our Next Steps class does. You ever wondered how your church started, what they believe, what's their purpose, what's the why behind the what? This is what I do. Once a month, on the first Saturday of every month, I walk people through our next steps. Did you know that your church staff and pastors have a prayer that we pray for you? That you would understand how God sees you, that you would find purpose, find freedom, and make a difference with what you've been gifted with for the kingdom? We have a prayer for you. I'd like to share with you. If you'd like to know more about your church and just sit down and talk, I'd love to see you on the first Saturday of every month where Next Steps can change your life.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Gosh, the church looks so good today. Yeah, all your beautiful smiling faces. We're glad that you're here with us. And so we welcome you, but we'd also like to welcome all the live streamers this morning that have joined with us. I started to say all the first-time guests, but it's the live streamers now. I'm going to welcome them, then I'll welcome first-time guests. Haven't been up here in a while because it's been so busy. But anyway, all you live streamers out there, listen, we're glad that you're watching. We're glad that you're going to participate in the service. And we know that you're going to be blessed today for watching and being with us. Now, for all of you first-time guests, I didn't forget you. If you will be so kind and look in the back of the pew in front of you, there's cards there. And if you will just pick one of those cards for first-time guests, and just write your name and address and all that on there. We would love that, and that will help us, and we will really appreciate that so much, just knowing that you're here and that you've joined us today, all right? And now, the communion tables, you know, are on my left side and my right side, and anytime you want to take communion, you and your family, just come up and get that, take it back to your seat, and take communion. But we still do the communion once a month here at the church. So you don't want to forget that as well. But this is just for you and your family whenever you would want to do that. Now, tomorrow is Memorial Day, right? And we want to take some time and we want to honor all the fallen soldiers. We want to honor them. And also, we want to thank all of our military families. If you've got someone in the in service or you've had someone and they're not here now, we just thank you. We thank you for your participation, their participation. Listen, we don't count it lightly. These are lives that kept us safe. You know? Amen. Amen. And without them, I don't know what we would have done. You know, now, we're having a night of prayer on June the 15th here at the church, and that'll be from 6:30 to 7:30. Listen, come on out. Bring your family so that we can pray for our government, our nation, our country, our neighbors, our families. You know, and let your family see that you're praying all together, you know, for all these things. This is very important. And don't forget the marriage class. It meets in the loft on the second Sunday of every month. And no matter how long you've been married, listen, we can still go to marriage class. We can still learn. I know I've told you guys this 100 times, but I always say, would you want to be married to you? I heard somebody over here say, no. Hey, I asked Pete that and he said, yes. Oh, yes, I would want to be married to me. I thought, you're fibbing. He wouldn't want to be married to him. But really, that is the way you can look at your marriage. Look at yourself, say, would I want to be married to me? That way you judge yourself, because you know who you are and what you're like, you know. But anyway, marriage class is the second Sunday of every month, and it's upstairs in the loft. And you know what? We can always work on our marriage, right? Always, because the devil loves to come in and destroy marriages. That's his job, and he loves that, so we can always. So don't forget the marriage class upstairs, okay? Now, let's stand up. Let's get ready to give God thanks for this beautiful day, and let's worship the Lord.
Till I met you, I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. Till I met you. I ran out of that grave.
Yeah. Let's just take a moment right now to lift our voices to Him and tell Him He's worthy in the house. Father, You're holy today. We lift Your name on high in this house, God. We magnify You. There's no one like You. There's no one like You. Come have Your way, Lord. Come have Your way. Come have Your way in this house today, Father. We're here to worship You, to honor You, to give You praise, to extol You this morning. You're holy, Father. You're holy, Jesus.
Battle. promise, and I've got a promise, and I've got a promise, yes and amen.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Thus saith the Lord, darkness has fallen upon the land, but I tell you the season of drought is at end. I have dried up the timber for a reason, for a purpose. Because in the darkness, when I light that timber on fire, there will be a light for those who are lost to come and find me. I have dried up my church for a purpose, not to harm you, not to lead you astray, for this generation to lead those who are lost, those who have gone astray, to come home to me, because there is a plan and a purpose for this church. And not only have I dried you up, I have poured gasoline upon you, and I have struck a match. And I'm about to light a fire that this world has never seen upon my church. And you will burn brighter than this generation has ever seen, than any generation has ever seen. For I am coming. Are you ready? Saith the Lord.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Yes. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kalinda. I'm a co-leader at our divorce care group here at Only Believe. This morning I was asked to speak to you about tithes and offerings, and I wanted to share a part of scripture that's really special to me. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible. This is 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 14, something you're familiar with. I like this translation. It gives it a little bit of a different perspective. So it says, "For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant, and will make it grow, so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest." Yes, God will give you much, so that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise God for your help. So two good things happen as a result of your gifts. Those in need are helped, and they overflow with thanks to God. Those who you help will be glad not only because of your generous gifts to themselves and to others, but they will praise God for this proof that your deeds are as good as your doctrine. And they will pray for you with deep fervor and feeling because of the wonderful grace that God has shown through you. Now, this passage is special to me for a few reasons, as I said. One of them is that, as you can tell, I'm divorced. That's why I co-lead divorce group. In 2010, that was just over a decade ago, when my husband left, he left us with nothing. No home, no primary income, debt. I brought the kids back here to Ohio, to OBM actually, and started to rebuild from the ground up, and it was really, really hard. We didn't have any heat for a little while, and members of the church brought us kerosene heaters so that we could stay warm. And we didn't have any furniture. members gave us blankets and air mattresses, and gave my children, who were just 3 and 5 years old, gave them toys, gave them movies to watch and a little player so that they could see them. And the church came around and supported us in so many ways. This church supported us in so many ways. They gave us clothing. They gave us groceries. There were many times that food was a huge struggle. And I remember Pastor Nicole taking us out to Walmart to buy groceries. And I was so humbled that the church would support us in this way. But the church is you. You see, you supported us. You met our family's needs during one of the hardest times in our lives. So thank you. How did you do that? You did that through your tithes and offerings. Because when you give to the church, you're not giving into some vault in the back where those finances, they kind of disappear and are never used. You're giving into a church that knows the needs of its members and gives into their lives. So while you're coming up here to give into buckets, what's happening is a part of those resources, obviously taking care of the building, taking care of all the needs, but a part of those resources is going to take care of families that you meet out in the foyer, children that you see playing at Gorillaville. You're helping to take care of them, and you don't even realize it. How about small groups? Small groups is a thing we talk about a lot right now, and you're probably helping friends you just made in small group. You don't know, and you may never know as you're passing all of us in the hall which one of us you've helped, but I'm standing before you a decade later saying, you made a massive difference in our lives. Because of your faithfulness in giving, this verse is proved true. You see, it says here that that those in need, like my family, would be helped, and that those who are helped would overflow in thanks to God. I didn't come directly to you to say thank you. I got down on my knees. And I thanked God that he was faithful to his word and he kept his promises. You know, and I recognized the power of giving even during those difficult times. And so I participated in tithes and offerings, albeit sometimes there was hardly anything that we could give. I remember R.W. Shambach came to the church, and I wanted to give in that offering so badly, but we had nothing in the bank. And so I ran out to the parking lot, and I started scouring the bottom of the car, and I found 67 cents. 67 cents. I cried tears of happiness that I could give in that offering, and I also honestly felt kind of bad. I'm like, what a pitiful, insignificant, scraping the bottom of the barrel amount. Like, my life is horrible right now. I have 67 cents. You know, but I gave that to God. And the thing I knew the whole time was that to God, that was not an insignificant amount. That I was giving the best that I had to give, and he was going to do something awesome with that. And so regardless of what you bring today in tithes and offerings, I want you to remember two things. One, your gift is performing the word of God. It is touching lives, is changing lives right here in this family, in this community. And it's causing others to thank God, to bring glory to God, because you were faithful to give. You didn't have to know the need. You just had to supply the seed, which you did. So today, let's go ahead. If you need a tithe and offering envelope, you can raise your hand. I'm sure the ushers will bring you one. Otherwise, in the back of the seat in front of you, there should be some offering envelopes for you. I just want to encourage you today to give your very best. And that might be a whopping 67 cents. But whatever it is, know that God's going to use it in a mighty, powerful way, because that's what he does. He takes what we have, and he makes it all that we need. Okay? Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, I just thank you for the generosity that you've shown to us today. Thank you for giving us more and more so that we can give away more and more. Thank you for taking care of my family, for moving us from lack to abundance. I know that you will be faithful to do the same thing for everyone who gives today. So we commit our giving to you to use for your glory. And we expect to hear an overflow of thanks from those who are giving touches. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Hello. All righty. Praise God. This is Memorial Day. Hey, how you doing, bud? Oh. Well, thank you, sir. You want any change? You giving it all? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Praise. Memorial Day weekend. We remember those that gave their life for our freedom. We remember that we have had someone else pay the ultimate price so that you and I could have the freedom to live out from under tyranny, out from under oppression, and that we could live in the freedom of faith. So I do encourage you, you may not know someone that is deceased or someone that has died in the military, but those that are alive gave big time slots out of their life that they will never get back, they'll never be able to relive, and for that we are grateful. Amen. So if you served in the military, if you will just stand to your feet, we want to give you a great round of and just tell you that we appreciate what you did. And we do appreciate it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Democracy is not perfect. Democracy does not always make people happy, but democracy is the best way to live unless it's under a theocracy. Amen. That means under God and one man. Amen. And but we have democracy. Democracy is not Christianity. Democracy is the majority rule. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, it's still the majority rules. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you're here with me today, if you'll turn Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11. Just taking a little break here in the middle of the vocal or the inspirational gifts that we'll get back into. And but today we're going to talk about this, Ephesians 4:11, and it says, and he, somebody say Jesus. Jesus, this is after his resurrection, he has ascended unto heaven, and he has received gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Many times in the scriptures, teachers and pastors are connected or they're joined together and are expressed as one. Now, a pastor must be some type of teacher, but a teacher would not have to be a pastor. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more men or children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I want to talk to you today. My name is Peter Dosick, and I'm a pastor. Some like that, some don't like that, but I'm a pastor. Pastor comes from a Greek word which means pro-maim. It's translated only once as pastors in this verse. Shepherd, it's translated 16 times. In the Hebrew, it means to tend to a flock. It is translated 8 times and is translated as shepherd 63 times. And in the scriptures, God is called a shepherd, Jesus is called a shepherd, and men are called shepherds. Amen? Also, I am entitled in Revelation 1:20 as an angel of God, a messenger, a voice from heaven. I am also called in 1 Timothy 5:17, I am an elder. 1 Peter 5:1, I'm called the man of God. 1 Timothy 6:11, I'm a messenger. I'm a minister in 2 Corinthians 3:6. I'm an overseer in Acts 20:28. I'm a preacher in Romans 10:14. I am a servant of God in Titus 1:1. I am a watchman in Isaiah 62:6. And I am a star in Revelations 1:20. Hallelujah. That's who I am. Yes. Let's go to Acts 20:28. So I'm going to be talking to you today because sometimes in the society that we live in, we have lost the identifying characteristics of people and who they are. I have people in my congregation. I'm not mad at you. I'm not offended at you, but I'm just amazed at people's ignorance. Some people call me Pete. Only my mama and my wife call me Pete. I would appreciate you calling me Pastor. And the reason people do that is because they don't know. My son-in-law called me something one time, but now, since that time, he has never called me anything but Pastor. He said he felt bad. I said, well, you must have been feeling how I was thinking about you. Acts 20:28. So this is probably not going to be a shout message, but it's going to be an informational one. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flocks of the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Acts 20:28 says, take heed. That word take heed simply means to be aware. Make sure that you give attention to. You know, the Bible declares unto us that the enemies of our soul will be the members of our own household. And people can change over the duration of time. They can be nice, they can be influential, they can be unifying, but then something happens in their life and they can turn. And they turn from being a shepherd to being a wolf. And a wolf just simply means that an appetite has changed. And then it means to keep your mind awake. Make sure that you are aware of who can be a wolf or how people become wolves. See, you can stop people from becoming something that God has not defined them as. But you know, it takes people to watch over other people. Jude says that we have to watch ourselves because people will enter in and they will corrupt the body of Christ. Now that means that what is on the inside is very special. What is on the outside is very dangerous. And so we have to be aware. So men who are called to be pastors can become wolves because their attitudes and their purposes change. And believers who aren't called to be pastors can turn into wolves. A wolf is just someone that has changed motivation and seeks to draw away that which may not be wise enough to recognize what is happening. And a wolf is one that seeks to build a following of disciples that are in the house because their attitude may be that they want more, they want to be more, or they want to have more influence. And so people can become wolves, but not everybody that has Bible studies or anything else is a wolf. It means a wolf has a distinct activity to draw people to their way of thinking, to have a place of influence in their life. And in the world that we live in, there are many opportunities for people to become wolves. If we could do away with wolves, then what we could do is we could infiltrate the body of Christ with teachers and Bible studies and things of that nature without any danger to the individual. And then a wolf is one who seeks to make a following to disrupt the unity of a congregation. But they do it by prioritizing against the true shepherd. You can't have something that God has not blessed if you try to take something that God has already built. Could again, amen. All righty. It says in Acts, the 20th chapter, that know this, that departing some shall be grievous wolves, and among you, not sparing the flock. That tells us what it's all about. It's about getting what the flock has. And they do it by prating. Prating. That simply means by talking, by sowing words. And here is the meaning of prating. It means to babble. It just means to talk about nothing that is God-centered. Do you know that God, when he comes, people are talking, he comes in and writes notes about what you're saying. And if it's not scriptural, God closes the book. See, God wants you to talk about the word because the word can build you up. He wants to talk about the word because the word can sanctify you. The word can cleanse you. The word can mold you. The word helps define you. Amen? And so this word prating means people just babble. Talk about nothing. It means to use mischievous words to speak against another. It means to utter nonsense. To utter nonsense. What would be nonsense? For people to say, well, pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. That's nonsense. That means that you are dumber than people thought you were. I didn't think you were. But when you believe what God has put his hand on or what God has seen, and then you speak against it and try to demean it, then you understand that it's nonsense. Somebody say nonsense. Hallelujah. I had a girl one time tell me, well, the Lord, I had just finished paying for her to go through Bible college. And she come to me and she said, you know, the Lord told me you're too stupid to be pastor of this church. I said, you mean God told you that I was too stupid to be pastor of this church? She said, that's right, absolutely. And he told me that I'm supposed to be pastor of the church. And I said, interesting. If I'm so stupid I can't pastor a church, how come I'm smart enough to tell you to get out of it? I threw her out that day and her husband that day. And then I announced on Sunday morning that I had threw the head deacon and his wife out of the church. The church gasped. And then I had them open the doors and I told them, if you want to go with them, you can go too. Now, thank God nobody went out that door of the three people I had. But the point being, she was speaking nonsense. Just nonsense. Could I get an amen? Amen. And so we have to make sure that we don't listen to nonsense. It means to bring a forward, straight out word of idleness and accusations to make enemies of the one being charged. It means to cause activity to be false against another, and that male words of strong leadership would become words of falseness. Now, folks, we are smart enough to know certain things. Amen? And I'm sure that everybody thinks pastoring is easy. And I'm sure that all of you have an ocean of tears that you aren't doing anything with. And I'm sure that you have enough saliva in your body to lick all the wounds that people can give you in 1 week. And I'm sure that you probably think that at least you're better than me. Now, I would not argue with you, and on any given day, I would crown you pastor of this church just in order to cause you suffering and affliction. I told my grandson, I said, you know, you being a pastor is a great opportunity, but I want to tell you something. It is the greatest opportunity in the world in the kingdom of God, but it will be the most sorrowful thing that you have ever accepted from God. Now, the Bible tells us that a pastor should be able to pastor with joy, in peace, in serenity, in assurance that people are with him and love him. But that's not always true. Because people are of the opinion that when I stand up here, I've just put together a few notes to have a good sermon. It's not about that. What I'm trying to do is to get you educated and awakened unto what God thinks is important in the kingdom of God. And that when I stand here, as the Bible says in Revelations 2:1 down through 12, it says that I stand as an angelic host sent by God. In other words, that I speak because I'm connected to heaven. Amen. Some of you say, well, I don't believe heaven is as boring as you are. I agree. But let's go to 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. And I'm sure that many of you already know all these things. I am just here to stir it up. Not to stir you up. I want you to be nice and calm. But I wouldn't mind an amen every once in a while. That's like a kiss that your husband gives you only after you complained he never kisses you. You know that it was there, but it just wasn't worth anything like something spontaneous. Anyway, moving on. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That fadeth not away. So we understand that people are all to the place that we understand that we need a shepherd. Somebody say, we need a shepherd. Now, those of you that are online, it's kind of a love and hate relationship with me and live streaming, because I do believe that half the people that are home watching don't need to be there. And if we weren't live streaming, you would be out of your PJs and in here in your underwear. And we'd much rather see you in your underwear than not see you at all. Because what you're doing is feasting and feeding off of scripture, and you're watching because you aren't getting half of what you get when you're here in person. And then the other thing is this, and you don't get to contribute nothing, because your gift that God gave you to function in the church is at home in that easy chair. And somebody here in this congregation today needs your gift, but they're going to go home broken, discouraged, downcast, because you wanted to stay home in your pajamas. Now, I understand both scenarios, but I would encourage you that if God gave you a gift, what is the gift? If you can open your mouth and say, hi, how are you doing today? That is a word of encouragement to somebody that is downcast. But you'd rather sit at home, listen to us, and all that kind of, I'm not demeaning you. Listen, I love you. Keep sending your money. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm telling you that you are cheating the body of Christ. You are cheating every individual that is here in this sanctuary. You are cheating those that are faithful. You are cheating those that need you. You are cheating the iron that you are supposed to sharpen. You are cheating the suffering when you could give a helping hand. You are cheating those that really need a touch of a human being in the place of God. And what you're doing is sitting there, you're indulging yourself. You know, go ahead and eat that cold pizza. You know, I encourage you to put it in the microwave first. But if you don't, look, I understand. You'd rather eat cold, greasy pizza than enrich somebody's life. I get it. But it's time for you to understand that one day we are all going to die, and God is not satisfied with people that could and do not do what they're supposed to do. And I am glad to be here for those that are shut-ins and those that are really sick. I'm glad that you tuned in. I hope that you're getting all that you can get out of this message. But when you get out of it, don't fall into the habit of no thinking, brain dead Christianity. Bible said, I send you out two by two. Why? They went home to home. Why? Face to face is what Christianity is about. Hallelujah. So we expect you to be here next week, and underwear are optional. Please wear pants. Now, so we have to understand here that the pastors are people that feed the sheep. Somebody say feed. We are not motivated by filthy lucre. I can't be bought. Can't be bought. Number one, Phyllis bought me and I was too cheap then, and I'm not getting bought for that cheap a price again. Now, and then we see that we are to do it willingly. We should not have to regret being pastors. In other words, pastors should not have problems from people. Because as you afflict the least of these, you've done it unto Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:1. 1 Timothy 5:1. Hallelujah. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor the widows that are widows indeed. So here we have a point that we are not to try to correct pastors that are in our midst. You know how many people try to tell me how to do what's right? Everybody. No, the shepherd is not to be to the point that he is to be rebuked. The Bible says the presbytery could do that, but not people. And so what you need to do is there is a place of honor. Somebody say honor. Honor. It is a place of honor and respect. Now, in the society that we live in, we honor just about nothing. We don't honor policemen. We don't honor stop signs. We don't honor, signs. In fact, I got aggravated one time. The lady said, stand over there. I looked at her and said, let me tell you something. I'm 70 years old, and I've been told what to do all my life by women like you, and today is the day that I'm saying enough is enough, and I'm not going over there. And I wouldn't have cared if COVID had got on me or not. It was the fact that I was at the end of my ropes when women, just strangers, started bossing me around. I said, enough is enough. It's one thing to have Phyllis down my throat, and then her partner, Nikki. It is beyond right that just everybody in the community starts bossing me. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the word that we are to take oversight or to be an overseer simply means that we are to take control of a situation so that things don't go awry. You know, sometimes things have to be done that people don't understand. Amen. And it's hard to see a one-sided story and make a right conclusion. And when you misunderstand people, then what you've done, if you tell it, you've made a lie. Or if you respond to it differently, what you've done is you've totally misunderstood what was being said or how it was being done. Amen. Amen. Yep, thank you. Now let's go to Acts, the 6th chapter and verse 3. Let me begin to tell you some of the things that I am supposed to do. Acts, the 6th chapter, verse 3 and 4. Okay, you got it up there. You're quicker than I am. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, one thing that a pastor has the right, the authority, the God-given authority to do is to appoint outreaches. To appoint outreaches. And it has to do also with them to define the requirements of those that are going to work in that outreach. And then it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now that tells you what I am focused on. I am focused on prayer. Every morning at 6 o'clock, I'm here. I pray from 6 to 11, and I study in that time every day, except Saturday and Sunday. And tomorrow, Monday, I'm so thrilled to get a Monday off. Now, I do it every day. Every day. Why? That is my job. Well, I thought you were supposed to do this and do that. Where is that in the Bible? It is a man-made doctrine or tradition of control. One thing is this. I am not your birthday trophy. Come on. I do not dance to your tune. I am a man called of God, and he owns me. And what I have to do is I have to raise my family. I have to try endlessly without, drawing back, please my wife. It's a never-ending job. And so I have things that I have to do that you have to do, and I can't just do everything that people beckon me to do. And so here, I am supposed to watch over the flock, have the oversight. I am to lead them in a way that I believe that God wants me to take them. And then I also have the right to make decisions that will promote the body of Christ and its fruit in our community. Well, that's two people that are outreach excited. And so when I say we're going to do this, it doesn't mean that I like to have two broken down people that need a ride to the outreach. I expect the church overall to respond to the right that God has given me. Well, now I'm up to 7 volunteers. But do you understand that these are priorities? Oh, you're just sitting around dreaming stuff up. No, I don't do that. Absolutely not. But when I believe that something can be productive, then I am obligated by God to create some place that we can harvest souls by putting in the sickle. And so when people say, well, I don't have time, or I don't want to do any outreaches, I don't want to do that. Okay, I understand. But know this, when you say no to me, you said no to Jesus. Why? Because you've done it to him, or the least of one of these, you've done it to him. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts 5:1. Oh, now it gets dangerous. Acts 5:1, oh Lord Jesus, does pastor have authority to kill? Well, I don't know. Let's just read the scripture as it's written. And it says this, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and it kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was not sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Unto God. Where was the Holy Ghost? Where was God? He was with Peter. He heard the lie and gave Peter a commission how to execute judgment. Now, I don't think that I have the right to kill people. But what I do have the right and the divine authority to do is to judge situations. You may not see it like I do, but I see it the way that God would have me see it. You say, but you should have done this, you should have done that. Well, number one, you aren't God, and I'm not your man, I'm God's man. Amen. So you may not agree with it, but God sees the end from the beginning. And so, whether I like it or not, there are things that I have to make judgments on. I have to make judgments on. And that judgment will be carried out and honored by God. Amen. Amazing. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1, 19 through 20. Man, you're just having to turn to scriptures. That way you believe what I'm saying. And it says this, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, the reason that the word that blaspheme is in there is that these two men said that the rapture was already passed. And when they said the rapture was already passed, many people forsook their faith because they thought it was too late to prepare to meet God. Now, they were lying. They were deceiving people, drawing away disciples of their self, to their self, that they could have a following. But Paul says, listen, these men were wrong. So there has to be a point in time that things that are said in a church, things that are circled in a church, things that are sowed in a church will ultimately get to my ears. And then I have to do something about it. Now, you don't know the whole story. And so it doesn't mean that you get to Facebook me how stupid I am. Now, I will say this. Over the years, I have seen, David, you can bear witness to this, that nobody does me wrong and does not meet God in some way. I'm just telling you, it doesn't happen. Number one, because what I do, I don't do out of wrong motive or intent. Now, I may be stupid in what I do, but there is no intent or maliciousness behind what I do. Believe this, if anybody is going to suffer in something, it'll be me over you. So, one thing that we realize here is that judgment is carried out and God will protect your pastor as he will each and every one of you, as long as your intent and motive is right. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy 5:1. Jiminy. Man, there's a lot of stuff in there about preachers. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Whew. And the young men as brethren. Rebuke not a father. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Again, this has to do with honor. It has to do with basic respect. Would you treat your father the way you treat your pastor? Hopefully not. All right. Acts 6:1-4, we've already read. And then Acts 6:7 tells those men that it's not right for a pastor to go out and to serve tables, but that he spends his time with God. And so, a major job of the pastor is to spend his time in prayer and study. In those times of prayer and study, men, pastors, the fivefold ministry will receive vision for the congregation. The congregation may not be able to see it, but they couldn't see Moses' vision either. God walked with Moses in a way that he walked with no other man. And that's what God does to pastors and so forth. Now, one of the things that Ephesians 4:11 does that we've already read that we're going to forego reading again is this. I am in your life for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of your life. That you may be complete in what God is calling you to do. Amen? We have nobody here today. Any of you know Philip Walker?
Yes.
He pastors our Kenton campus. He just finished his new building. When I met Philip, he'd just come out of the Baptist church. And talk about a mess. And Philip came to our church. And in about a month, I put Philip in the pastor's class. And that means that he had to preach. Had to preach whenever that class was open. He had to preach here on the platform during classes that I attended. And pretty soon, Philip became a great preacher. And then here come Kylan Boozer. Personality like a cardboard, but a heart as big as a semi-truck. Then come Kylan. When I first hired Kylan, they said, "You aren't going to hire him, are you?" I said, "Yep." Phyllis said, "He has a personality like a cardboard." And I said, "Well, now you know how I feel about your mother and father. They're dead in heaven. They aren't hearing it. Get over yourself." And then along came Tim LaMasters. I met Tim LaMasters in a McDonald's to hire him. And I said, "Tim, I talked to your teens that you've been helping Kylan oversee. They tell me your preaching sucks." He said, "What?" I said, "You heard me. They said your preaching stinks. It is not worth listening to." I said, "So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire you for 6 months. If you cannot take getting fired, don't take this job. Because in 6 months, if you don't learn, it's going to be bye-bye, Timmy." So Tim came, and then he started learning. I made him get here at 6:30, an hour before the rest of the staff. And he said, Pastor, do I have to do that? I said, no, you don't have to. You don't have to get a paycheck neither. He said, oh, I understand. I said, there you go, good guy. And so he started coming. And pretty soon, he started developing his gift. And we'd talk about the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. And now, how many of you know, he's a good preacher. Amen. Absolutely, he's a great preacher. And then here come old Rick Burke. He's not black, he's paper brown, he told me. But anyway, here come Rick Burke. He couldn't preach, he couldn't do anything except promote himself. But pretty soon, he started preaching. And I told him, I said, this is how I want you to preach. Take out everything about you and just preach Jesus. His messages went from 45 minutes down to 15 minutes. So, Rick is a great, great preacher. Dakota. I hear the murmurers and I'm just letting them speak for themselves. No, Dakota is going to be a great preacher. He is. He's going to be a great preacher. And so I put him in a hotel on, I think, the south side of Lima. Hotel was like $2 a night. And so I put him in that room. And I let him preach to whosoever would come. And the guy that I had there said, man, you know what? He did a good job. I think he's got something. I said, okay. So Dakota's going to make a great preacher. Amen. And if not, his mother will kill him. But these men started growing. And it's my job, one of my jobs, is to pick people as a presbytery and to raise them up to be active in preaching the gospel. Now, I may not see everybody. That's okay. But those that I see, I get behind. Trish, Thistle, Mark is her husband. And she just returned from 3 months of Florida under Daniel, and so she went down there, just returned from Kenya, preaching there for 3 weeks. And Mark told me that she seen somebody with a devil and jumped off the stage, went down there and cast a devil out of him and come back up on the stage and finished her message. And I think that's wonderful. She's written books, and she's just a great preacher. And Mark is her husband. And so I believed in her. I said, go on radio. She did. I said, write books. She did. And she's making a mark for herself. Mark is her husband. And and then I am supposed to train you up for the work of the ministry. For the work. You should be involved. And then I am to raise you up to edify the body of Christ. Edify them. Stir them up. Ignite them. Respark them. That's what Christians should do one to another. And then I am to preach unity in the men of faith. We ought to be unified one with another. There should not be one negative word comes out of our mouth, because we'll grieve the Holy Ghost if we use it. We are to unify men in the doctrine of Christ Jesus. We are to perfect men in Christ. And I am to preach in the area of bringing men into maturity in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:17. I know it sounds like I'm one of them babblers, but these are things that I do as a pastor. You may not understand me. You may not always know what I'm thinking, where I'm thinking, what I'm thinking about, but be encouraged. It's for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obey and submit. I hate to tell you, that's to me. I see them turkey feathers. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. Amen. Yourself, for I watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy in the morning and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Wouldn't it be terrible if you went through life and when you got to heaven, God said, you don't have nothing up here. You've been unprofitable. Because you've never submitted and obeyed who I set over you. Wow. Revelation 2:1, remember, I am the angel of the Lord, and the threat that God uses against the church is, I will remove your candlestick. In other words, he would remove me. So we as Christians must be submissive to who God sets in the church, and that we as Christians are submissive to who God has set in the house. And there is a place of honor and respect that is to be shown in the house of God. Amen? And basic honor and basic respect is how we participate and how we receive that which is being brought forth by the pastor. Now you might say, man, you sound like a control freak. I'm not a control freak. I just read to you the scriptures. I'm not a control freak. I just am going to live where God wants me to live. Amen. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And we as a church are going to celebrate in seeing hundreds and thousands of people saved. Amen. Thousands of people saved. And so, I'm Peter Dosick. And I believe this message. I'm Peter Dosick, and I am pastor of Only Believe Ministries, Christian Center. I am, hallelujah. So, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. You may be seated. You know, Jesus gathers with us whenever we are gathered together. Amen. And we are gathered together in his name. Amen. So he is here to do what he's ever done, to meet needs. He's here to repair the brokenhearted. Amen. He's here to give us hope where there is no hope. Yes. He is here to lead us beside the still waters. He's here and he has fortified us with faith that we do not have to fear death. Amen. We are here and He is here to meet financial needs, emotional needs, family needs. We are here to allow Him to do what we cannot do on our own. God is here to mend marriages. God is here to help us with transition. God is here to strengthen us, to replan us, to direct us, to encourage us, and to fill our hunger and thirst for more things of God. That's what God's here for. And that's what He's doing in your life. Felt like all the wells have been stopped up. Man, I need fresh water. I need something. Where's that living water Jesus talked to me about? And hunger. You know, no man can hunger and thirst except God put it in our hearts to draw us to Him. And as we are drawn by that, then we end up right where God wants us to be. And that's what God's been doing in your life. It's not that, you know, I just can't get anything, I just can't hear. That's all a part of just digging your own well, finding the own bread. And it's a place that God will transition you and change you. And so God is doing that in your life. So don't be discouraged. Just let the process go. And you'll end up having plenty of water and lots of bread. So just be right where you're at. Let the process finish. Remember that if you hunger and thirst, then He will fill you. And that will happen. That will happen. This allows a message to hear to get that started. But praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let's lift our hands and just say, Jesus, we love You. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. We love You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did somebody break a collarbone and you know what? It should have healed with a bump on top, but it didn't heal. It didn't come up together. It looks like it's kind of just off, like a halfway. And you know what? You've been having problems with that. Who is that? Collarbone. Come right out here, Gene. Hallelujah. Which one is it? Oh, yeah. It looks like it's got lip marks on it. That came from you? I'm kidding you. What do you mean? I don't know. You don't know what you do at night in your sleep. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, God, I loose the working of miracles, and I speak to this thing, God, for it come back together in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I thank You for it. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Gene, feel it. Tell me what's going on here.
Feels like it's smaller, but it's still there. I can feel the okay. Bump still there.
In the name of Jesus, I command you right now. You devil, I command you in the name of Jesus. Loose her. God, I loose the working of miracles in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Touch it again, Gene. Tell me.
It's gone down. It's gone down a lot more. But
good deal. Well, praise God. Bit. You go. Okay. It'll be okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. How you doing, Eric?
Good, Pastor. My collarbones are fine. Okay. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you divorced?
Yes.
You are? About 16 months?
7 years.
7 years. Have you had any contact with her the last 16 months?
Yes.
You have? Did she try to kiss you?
No.
Okay. Are you glad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just wondering. I'm asking. Hallelujah. Well, you know that divorce is not the end of life. You know that God always has something in the wings of everyone's life. And that God can call forth new beginnings. And the latter end will always be greater than the former. Never be afraid of love, even though it comes with hurts and all that kind of stuff. A life without love is a life worth not living. So, you are going to have someone come. And they're going to fall in love with you, and you're going to fall in love with them. And I'm just telling you that the end is going to be greater than the former. And you watch God break forth, do something great. And, you know that love is blind. There's a blind woman coming to your... I thank God that Phyllis was so blinded she couldn't see me. Then she woke up one day. You know what Phyllis used to do? She used to go to bed every night, and then every morning before I went to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, she'd get up and put her makeup on, do her hair, the whole deal, and then lay back down. And I thought, man, buddy, this is one knockout woman. But one day she slept in. I woke up and I said, oh, my God, who are you? And we're going to believe your wife will not look like that. But God, listen, you just allow God to do what God wants to do in your life. Amen? And I'm telling you, he will make your latter end greater than the former. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, lift your hands up towards heaven. God, I bless every individual in here. You declared to me, God, that I could bless people and they would be blessed. By the authority of your word, I speak blessing, God, into people's lives. I speak, God, financial resolve for financial need. I speak, God, promotions in jobs and in situations. I speak, Father, that you will cause the enemies of people's lives to be blinded and confounded and confused. I pray, God, that as you have declared no weapon formed against us will prosper, that, God, every weapon will be unsuccessful. God, I declare that you said that by the stripes of Jesus we've been healed, and I loose miracles in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, God, for your glory. I thank you, Father, that favor compasses about them like a shield, and it shall bring them before great men. And God, we meditate, we rejoice, and we thank you that, God, you are our shepherd, and we will not want. Father, your eyes are upon us. And we are confident that, Father, you will complete the task that you've laid before us. We thank you, God, that doors are opening for people that are here, that, God, they will see their needs, that, God, they will see their purpose, that, God, they will see their paths, that, God, they will see the steps that they should take. God, I thank you for arresting men and women today. That, God, they are awakening their self to the urgency of the hour. And, God, we thank you for it. We thank you, God, for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise God. Who has a hernia? If you have a hernia, raise your hand. Oh, Dakota. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where is it at?
Right here.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command right now this hernia in Jesus' name to be thou made whole. I command you to come out of him. God, I loose the working of miracles in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, push on it. Tell me what you got.
I can't really tell. The pain's gone, but...
You want to... You don't have to take your britches off to see, dude. Okay.
It's kind of low, but...
Okay. All righty. Well, you let us know, praise God. I just believe that that was... You remember that lady in... What is it, in Cuba?
Yes.
This lady had this hernia as big as a basketball. She was in a wheelchair. And I got up there and I said, oh, praise God, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you. And I thought, you idiot. And but God healed the woman. Praise God. Got up out of that wheelchair. That dress went, shoo, and God healed her.
Yes.
And you are miracle people. Oh, okay. Yeah, come up. Yeah, and we'll just... Really?
Yeah, right there.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse this hernia right now. I command it to come out. In the name of Jesus, I command you in Jesus' name, go. And I loose, God, the working of miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir, where is David? Really? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command this hernia for you to come out in the name of Jesus. Loose him. God, I loose the working of miracles in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, did you have pain in it, David?
Not so much pain. It would be hard sometimes, but just... troublesome sometimes, you know.
Okay. You go and then you let us too know what's going on here, okay?
Yep.
All right. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet. Wednesday night, and you be safe. Praise God over your holiday. Remember to keep Jesus in focus. Keep him the center of all that you do. Share the love of Christ with anybody that you possibly can. And Father, we loose right now, God, your spirit to keep us until we come back together again under the banner of your house in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.